Inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio with your hosts, Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Walker. I'm with you today on the program. It's our Wednesday edition of the program. Once again, glad to have you with us. If you want to listen to the program in its entirety at your convenience, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. On your Apple device, Android device, etc., etc., and all the major podcast platforms, that's where we are. And if you just don't want to, you know, give the big media tech conglomerates more of your business than we already do, you can download our own app, the AFR app, at all of your app stores. So you can listen to the program, both live and past shows, past episodes, on the AFR app. And we've got the app available on multiple device types, multiple platforms. By the way, if you are an Android person, like, you know, Bobby over here, and probably half of the world, literally, if you're an Android person, you know, in the whole Apple versus Android world, if you own an iPhone, you think that everybody in the world owns an iPhone. But little did you know that iPhone, I believe, is not the most popular brand, our most popular operating system. Android's on up there too. So we just thought the Apple device was the most popular, but it's actually not. It's actually not. The Android operating system, which can be on multiple device types, is actually the most popular operating system. So little techie news there, little techie rabbit trail. But back on point, back on the trail. Some of you have been having issues with our AFR app on your Android device. And I'm not going to get into I'm not going to start speaking, you know, like a tech nerd. And losing you here, but just to give you a 1 minute backgrounder, these devices have all kinds of settings. Most of them are like battery settings, they call them energy saving settings. So basically, they're trying to conserve your battery. So that causes various apps to just shut down if your phone falls asleep, and so that's what we've had basically going on with Android devices. And but we've put out a paper, we put out a document that walks you through the steps to disable or enable certain settings that will allow the AFR app to operate unrestricted without all these different, barriers up. So if you go to AFR.net, right there on the top menu bar, we've got a how-to section. And not only do we have videos that show you how to download the app, how to operate the app, but we also have a section there at the bottom that walks you through different support items if you've had issues with the AFR app. So you'll want to go there and check it out if you're one of those Android fans and you want to get those settings just right so that the AFR app can operate unrestricted on your device. Moving into some of the topics, well, let's cover our scripture for the week first before we jump into some of the news stories. But we're in Psalm chapter 79. I want to read a couple verses here. This is a Psalm of Asaph. In verse 8, the author says, "Do not remember against us our former iniquities. Let your compassion come speedily to us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake." So we see here where the writer here is petitioning the Lord to not remember against us our former iniquities. And This is the foreshadowing of why Jesus came, is to forgive us our iniquities and offer an eternal finished job of forgiveness and for the cleansing of sins. That's why Jesus came. So we ought to be thankful that we operate not under the old law, or not under the law, not under the Old Testament way of operating, but we operate under a system, under a time of forgiveness. Should we believe? Should we believe in Jesus as the Son of God? We shall receive forgiveness, it says, and eternal life. And so that's the way the Lord operates and interacts with his people today. And for that, we should be thankful. We're not having to do sacrifices. We're not having to follow the law to a T. The Lord came to offer us eternal life and eternal forgiveness for our sins. And for that, we should be thankful. Moving into some of the stories, you know, the climate change hoax just, boy, does it get under my skin. And because the people who are promoting this climate change agenda and narrative are really seeking tremendous control over our lives. And it's really a threat to everyone's liberty and a threat to the very existence of America as we know it. And it's positioned as this moral case, right? It's positioned as this moral case, as if you don't care about climate change, and then you ask them, what is climate change? And they really can't give you a solid answer. As I've said, if it rains, it's climate change. And if it doesn't rain, it's climate change. If it snows, it's climate change. And if it doesn't snow, it's climate change. So it is, you cannot, it's like nailing Jell-O to the wall. You just can't do it. And so that's why they went from global warming to climate change, because the globe stopped warming. And, this agenda is really seeking overt power. And it's they're pitching it, they're couching it as a moral case, and they're guilt tripping anyone who dares to question it, right? Because if you don't submit to the climate change orthodoxy, then you yourself don't care about the planet, and you want everybody to die. I mean, that's pretty much where they sum it up at. I came across this tweet. This is a beauty here from Congresswoman Ilhan Omar from Minnesota. this she's got Al Gore and John Kerry beat by a long shot here. Listen to this. This was put out yesterday. She said, now this was tweeted out on Monday. She said, the Earth just broke the record for the hottest day in 120,000 years. She goes on to say, in fact, we broke it on three separate days. Which, a little bit confusing there. How do you break? I guess you're breaking one record after another. Who knows? But what are facts, right? Why should I question? And then she concludes the tweet by saying, national climate emergency now. Talking about the Biden administration and how they should declare a national climate emergency right this second. Maybe Fauci can head that up and mess that up too. Or maybe John Kerry should do that. But we can't even, and this shows, like, how do you debate that? This is so loony that is it even worthy of my breath? And it's really not, but I'm still going to waste some breath on it. She says, okay, the first fact here, or the first part of this premise that is assumed, is that we know what the temperature was 120,000 years ago. All right, so the first thing is that, do we even know the planet was here 120,000 years ago? And from a biblical historical perspective, that narrative, that idea is false on its face, okay? All right. But let's move on and not just talk about the biblical and historical issue with our timeline here, but let's operate under the assumption that there was Earth here 120,000 years ago. How on Earth would we know the temperature in July of somebody ran the math. I don't know. 117,000 some odd number BC? You know what the temperature was? And I asked the meteorologist, what do you think what's the weather going to look like tomorrow? Cause I'm going on vacation, or I'm going out to the golf course, or I'm working in the yard tomorrow. I'm mowing my yard tomorrow. What do you think the weather's going to look like? I pull up my app, you know, these smartphones that you got to tell it all what to do. So how smart is it really? And you pull up the weather app, and you know, it says it's going to be 95 tomorrow. Bright sunshine, no clouds, you know, humidity is going to be 60%. And then about an hour later, you pull it up, and it says it's going to rain. And it's not going to be 95. It's going to be 90. And the humidity is going to be 80% instead of 60. And the meteorologist immediately changes their perspective. Well, you know, things change. Weather patterns change. So my point is, if we don't know what the weather's going to be tomorrow, definitively, I'm not talking about guesstimates, all right? I'm talking about facts. Then how can you tell me we know what the temperature was 120,000 years ago, or even 1,000 years ago? The reality is we don't, and we have no idea. We have no idea. So if you want to say, I think it was hot 100 years ago, and you can tell me why you think it was, even though very few people can do that, and especially 1,000 years, then why, how are we fooling ourselves here? Why are we fooling ourselves? And this is the idiocy of the agenda. This is the idiocy of the agenda because they act like they know everything. What do they not know? And this is how you spot a fraud from 100 miles away, is when they act like they know everything. And any scientist that acts like they know what the temperature was 120,000 years ago, these are the same people that act like they don't know what our founders intended when they wrote the Constitution. And that's in plain text. That's not predicting weather patterns. So if you don't know what George Washington and the other dozens of founding fathers intended when they wrote the First Amendment, if that's still up for debate and interpretation, then how do you know the weather pattern 120,000 years ago? The reality is you don't, and you're lying. These people are lying, and what idiots will fall for this? I mean, this is the climate change hoax that I talk about. John Kerry swindling on it, making a buck, running this climate czar office with no accountability, 45 employees, millions of dollars, and he's going over to China, trying to get China. Listen to this. I got the headline here. Let's see. China sent John Kerry, this is the third dignitary, by the way, and I don't know if you consider John Kerry a dignitary from a technical sense, but he's a representative of the U.S. in some form. So Biden sent, first he sent Blinken, the Secretary of State, to China to try to mend our relationship with them, which, why aren't we bending over backwards for China? Number two, he sent Yellen over there. What on earth the Treasury Secretary is doing in China? And we played the clip. She's talking about military and national security. Then he sends John Kerry. This is like 3 weeks in a row. This is within the last 4 weeks. We got three U.S. representatives going over to China, bending over backwards, doing the handshake. And listen to this report. John Kerry admits that China climate trip is a failure. So we're going over to China, and guess how much China cares about the climate? Zero. You want to know what China cares about? They care about their national security. They care about their national interest. They care about their military. They care about building islands in the South China Sea. They care about launching an aircraft carrier every month. That's what China cares about. You know what China cares about? They care about Russia, cozying up with Russia, advancing on American interest, having a spy base in Cuba. That's what China cares about because they got their priorities in order. What are we doing? We're talking about the weather from 120,000 years ago. That is the priority of our U.S. Congress. We'll be back in a few.
At At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to The Core. That was Owe You Everything by Will Edwards. That's a Mississippi native there, a local gentleman of whom we know his family and know him very well. So that was Will Edwards, Owe You Everything. It's Worship Wednesday. That's our song for the week. Hey, back into a topic I want to make sure we cover that really tie into the wrap-up of our last segment. And the idiocy that seems to be everywhere, especially in our nation's capital, emanating from Congress itself. This issue with patriotism is a big problem. And we saw this with the Obama administration, and we see it now with the Biden administration, where you've got an entire party, i.e. the Democrats, that hate America, they're ashamed of America, America's the leading perpetrator of wrong in the world, and we've got to right this ship, we got to right this wrong. That's the narrative of the Democrats. How on earth these people get win elections, I have no idea, because this is a loser political position, but they keep winning, and I guess it's because they're converting Marxists, Americans into Marxists in our public education system and in our universities around the country. Meanwhile, they're ripping them off too. So how is that? How is that that you get to convert people to Marxism and make them pay you for it? What kind of deal is that? So we're charging kids $50,000 to $100,000 to get a four-year degree that they're likely not even going to use, and we're converting them to Marxism while we're there. This is a sweetheart deal for the universities. It is a sweetheart deal for the universities. Typically, you get something out of, when you pay for something, you get something in return. But in many cases with these universities, it's the complete opposite. But on patriotism, the lack of patriotism and lack of pride in America and our founding fathers and our history, where we've come from, our heritage, lack of that pride has a toll that goes beyond one presidential cycle, goes beyond just 4 years or 8 years. And we're seeing that now with our military recruitment at record lows. And even the top generals under Biden have said publicly that this is a problem. We are having problems recruiting people into the military, and they won't tell you why, but I can tell you one of the reasons why is because of the lack of American pride in our nation's capital and in our leaders. And when we go around, when Obama went around apologizing for on behalf of America to the world, who wants to raise their hand and say, yeah, I'll die for that. I'll die for that commander in chief. So that's a cold, hard reality. And I came across this story. This was a Fox News original, and they went and interviewed this young gentleman whose father was in the military, and the young gentleman's name is Aiden Gilbert. And so Aiden Gilbert, the young gentleman, he was, you know, talking with Fox News about, you know, are you going to go into the military? Are you going to follow in the footsteps of your father? Are you yourself going to serve in our nation's military? And I want you to listen to this clip, but this is Aiden telling the reporter, here's why I'm not going into military, because they're woke, they're out of focus, and they're not proud of our nation. Let's listen to this story.
My name is Aiden Gilbert. I'm 18 years old, and I'm from San Diego, California. My dad was a Marine officer. Growing up, I had considered joining the military. My opinion on it was, it was something that, you know, a man of honor would do, to serve and protect his country and serve and protect those values that were set and that existed back then. But I think things are a little bit different now. I would say my opinion changed in my late teen years in high school. The left has kind of successfully eroded patriotism by controlling everything, like a helicopter parent. For example, the illegal speech codes, endless genders, embracing Marxism, celebrating satanic themes in music and Hollywood, and literally spitting on God. And it just angers me seeing our president as the conductor of that symphony of sewage. When us youth, when we hear the word pride, we're now instinctively, we're programmed to instinctively think of the rainbow flag. Whereas the generations before me, when they heard the word pride, they thought of the American flag. Now that's, to the left, that's considered offensive, and we should burn it or remake it along with the national anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance. And to be honest, I'm really just not moved to serve a commander in chief who seems to value the rainbow flag over the American flag.
Well, there you have it. I'm just not inclined, quote, I'm just not inclined to serve a commander in chief that appears to value the rainbow flag more than the American flag, end quote. But you know, this has got to be the thought process of more than this, that more than just that young gentleman. And what he's talking about there is just about a month or two ago, the White House had their sexual deviancy event with, you know, a bunch of men who think they're women and women who think they're men, in the White House grounds, and they hung up these rainbow flags with the American flag side by side, equal display. And so that's what he's referencing there. But you know, every person has to weigh out, or should weigh out, you know, pros and cons. If I go into the military, how am I going to benefit? How's our country going to benefit, etc.? But if I do this, also what's the cost? You know, what if I die, what am I dying for? I mean, that's got to be a discussion. And when you do what the Democrats have done, and look, the Republicans got their problems too. I mean, their stance on the social issues is weak. They're just as bad as the Democrats on fiscal responsibility. But at least they act proud of America, and they're not fumbling over themselves to apologize about America. And so the Democrats are the chief purveyors of this. This apologetic mentality about America. But if you listen to them, why would you go into the military only to learn about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and how if you're white, if you've got light skin, then you're a forever aggressor, oppressor. And you know, we ought to be paying for abortions. And if you're a man who thinks you're a woman, we'll pay for your surgery. That's what the military is doing now. And then they're going down this Green New Deal route where they're trying to get all of them to drive EVs. So we don't even have enough ammo for Ukraine, but we're focused on getting electric vehicles for the military. That's a great idea. That's what Biden's doing now, and it's a complete and utter joke. And there's been many commanders that have spoken out against it that are still in their positions, and that doesn't even make headlines. It hardly even makes headlines. You got these generals that are testifying before Congress that they're running out of equipment, they're running out of ammunition, they don't know where all the money's going, they can't recruit anybody, and that's not getting any headlines. I mean, if this were under Trump, this would be a scandal. Like, we're going to impeach Trump because he's destroying our military. But when Biden does it, I guess it's expected because the bar is so much lowered. Another thing I wanted to talk about, I talked Monday about San Francisco. Boy, are they in some trouble. I've been looking more into this, and I actually watched an interview, a local interview with the police chief of San Francisco, along with the California Highway Patrol, who is apparently having to come in and backstop the police department on clamping down on these drugs and the drug abuse in San Francisco. But this is a video that, of course, we're on radio, so I can't show it to you, but we'll publish a link to it later. It's a video of this gentleman who's in a Walgreens in San Francisco, and this is no joke. They've got the entire freezer section padlocked. The entire freezer section is padlocked because it was robbed 20 times in one day. This is not Babylon Bee. This is not The Onion, and it's not April 1st. This is legit. This San Francisco Walgreens was robbed 20 times in a day. And so the manager just said, you know what? Forget it. We're just going to lock it down. So they padlocked the entire freezer section. So you go in San Francisco, right? California's the wealthiest. It's the best. It's where Hollywood is. And by the way, we have no middle class because of our policies. We've only got the haves and the have-nots. But San Francisco's great. America's city. So I'm going to go into Walgreens, and I'm going to grab a pint of ice cream because it's San Francisco, and it's hot. And you walk in only to find a master lock on the freezer in Walgreens. I mean, if this doesn't give you a snapshot of America in decline, tell me what does. Well, Walker, I'll tell you what gives you a snapshot of America in decline. The Tesla on the side of the road on family vacation that just ran out of battery. They just ran out of battery because there was no Tesla charger within eyesight. That is a picture of America in decline. What's another picture of America in decline? This is actually fun. I didn't even plan for this. Another picture of America in decline is Janet Yellen, the good old Treasury Secretary, who's been in Washington for longer than I've been alive, going over to China, meeting with some guy from China, some dignitary. And she bowed so many times, I thought she was going to fall over on her face. And she bowed like she was in Japan. You know, everybody's got their own customs. Here in America, we do a little handshake, maybe a hug if you're in the South. You know, if you're up in New England, you might get a kiss on the cheek. And in Japan, you apparently bow out of respect. But she was in China, and her handlers didn't even know enough about, you know, etiquette and tradition and customs to tell her that you don't bow like a bobblehead three times in front of the Chinese dignitary. Well, if you want another, you know, snapshot of America in decline, and maybe this is becoming a thing here, maybe we'll create some, you know, some snapshots of America in decline. You got Biden meeting with the Israeli president, and they've been blacklisting Netanyahu, by the way. Netanyahu, Biden's team's refused to meet with Netanyahu for months now. But he's meeting with the Israeli president. And the Democrats, by the way, they're not showing up to his joint speech in front of Congress because Israel bad, Israel bad. You know, Hamas good, Israel bad. That's the that's the slogan of the Democrats. But Biden's having this press conference or this, you know, informal press gathering in the Oval Office, you know, like they do. And we don't even know what he said. Nobody knows what he said. He's got his head down in his chin's down in his chest, looking down at the ground, mumbling, literally mumbling. And I'm like, I'm turning the volume up on my computer, trying to figure out what on earth is going on here. Are we at the White House or are we at the assisted living facility?
I think it's one and the same now.
It is, Bobby. And that's
the people's house.
That's America in decline. You do a press conference with the commander-in-chief who's got the nuke codes in his back pocket, and you don't even know what he's saying. And you think that that's going to take us to a good place. I'll just tell you, folks, for those who got their feelings hurt about mean tweets and Trump, we're going to have to get our priorities in order. Because we can have a mean tweeter businessman who knows how to get it done, or we can have a mumbling, fumbling Biden who has no idea what's going on as our commander-in-chief. So, America, you're going to have to make a choice.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to the core here on American Family Radio. There's been a lot of discussion, especially in the conservative movement, as to whether whether the Democrats want Trump to be the nominee or whether they don't want Trump to be the nominee. And this is getting into the minds of, you know, Merrick Garland and Biden and all the Democrat Party apparatus and why they've unleashed Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, on Trump. And we'll kind of get into and play a few clips on getting into the minds of, you know, the Democrats, whether or not they want Trump to be the nominee. But I can tell you one thing, that this is completely unprecedented. Completely unprecedented. And this is Biden's Department of Justice targeting Donald J. Trump on multiple fronts. This is like a blitz. This isn't one case, two cases. They got this guy, they got Trump involved in like five, six, seven cases. I mean, it's the Alvin Bragg, and you can say, well, that's not the DOJ, that's the local DA, but that guy is a puppet of the Democrats. And he, by the way, he ran on putting Donald Trump in jail. That's how he won in New York. He ran. His leading campaign slogan or campaign mantra was, I'm going to lock Donald J. Trump up. So you got Alvin Bragg, the Democrat in New York. You've got the Mar-a-Lago documents case, which under it are multiple issues going on. You've got the Georgia case with the election. With the call with Secretary of State there, et cetera, et cetera. And then you've got the January 6th stuff. And then I'm sure there's more. But that's just four separate legal issues that Donald Trump's dealing with. And I'm sure there's more. So we've never seen this before. We've never seen this level. It's one thing to have one case open against a former president, but they've got multiple cases, and they've even assigned a special prosecutor. And you know what I don't like about the special prosecutor? And I said this during Durham. I said it during Mueller. The problem, we're supposed to have a unbiased, fair, equal application of the law. And that should be applicable, and that should be true no matter what. And so the whole narrative of needing a special prosecutor is an admission that the way the current department is set up is it's not fair. It's not equal. And to me, that just reeks of corruption and reeks of problems when you need a special prosecutor at all. And the person who names the special prosecutor is the same office that is supposedly not fair enough to handle it themselves. So you're passing off something. You're saying, I can't handle this. You know, I'm conflicted. You know, I work for the president, and this is the president's political opponent. But I'm going to tell you who can handle it. I'll name somebody that can handle it for you. Jack Smith. I mean, you talk about a fair dealer. I'm going to give you Jack Smith. So the whole system, it really doesn't make any sense, and it reeks with problems and corruption. But who knows what their intent is, whether it's to prop Donald Trump up with the sympathy card, you know, and help him get the nomination because they think they can beat him again, or whether they're genuinely trying to take him out, whether they're trying to take him out, make it to where he can't run for office, he can't be on the scene anymore and has no influence. Who knows what the true motive is? Who knows what the heart is behind this? But we'll continue to keep an eye on it. And maybe we'll bring in some perspectives to shed some light on that. I do want to introduce our guests that we have with us the rest of the show. Todd Nettleton is with Voice of the Martyrs, and he's on the program now with us. Todd, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. It's good to be with you.
Well, Todd, you head up Voice of the Martyr Radio. Many of our audience has probably definitely heard of Voice of the Martyrs, probably heard yourself at times here on American Family Radio. But bring our listeners up to speed, those who don't know, about some of the work that Voice of the Martyr does, and then we'll jump into some of the specific campaigns and projects you guys have ongoing.
Well, Voice of the Martyrs is a ministry to persecuted Christians. We were founded by persecuted Christians. The founders of the Voice of the Martyrs, Richard and Sabina Wormbrand, both of them spent time in prison in communist Romania, Richard for 14 years, Sabina for 3 years. And so when they came to the West, they founded VOM to help people who were still in prison, to help people just like they had been. And we are now, I believe, 57 years this year that we have been doing that work, working in more than 70 countries around the world where our Christian brothers and sisters face persecution for doing things we take for granted, for gathering with other believers, for having a Bible, for singing praise songs. Those things will get you arrested or beat up or even killed in places around the world. And that's where Voice of the Martyrs works.
Tell us about this recent, I mean, you guys are constantly working to get Christians released and relieved in that are in jail and prison being persecuted. And not all persecution ends up in imprisonment. Much of it does. There's various forms and levels of persecution, to your point. But what's the latest thing you guys are working on? What are you highlighting this month that our listeners need to be aware about?
Well, this is a really significant thing to me because in 2004, I went to Eritrea, which is in Northeast Africa. We interviewed pastors and other Christians who had been jailed there. 2 years before that, 2002, the government just came in really kind of overnight and shut down all of the evangelical churches. And they went into underground mode from one Sunday having public worship in their church buildings to the next Sunday meeting in homes and having secret meetings. Literally, it was that quick for the church there. Two of the pastors that I met on that trip, a few months after I got home, they were arrested as part of kind of a roundup of Christian leaders in Eritrea. This coming Saturday will be 7,000 days
that
they have been in prison. 7,000 days, 1,000 weeks. Like all of the other Christians in prison in Eritrea, and right now we estimate that number to be almost 400 Christians in prison in Eritrea, not a single one has had a trial or a lawyer or even been formally charged with a crime. They just get arrested, they go off to prison, and now for these two brothers, it will have been 7,000 days on Saturday. We're asking people this week to contact the Eritrean embassy and make a stink about this. Let's say this is not acceptable to have two Christian pastors in prison for 7,000 days. My hope is we've set up a website to give people information to help them make this connection. We've got a sample letter up there that people can use if they want to write a letter. My hope is their fax machine has burned up by Monday morning, that they just got too many faxes and it just couldn't handle it. And it just kind of smoke comes out of it because so many Christians are saying, we will not stand any longer for our brothers to be in prison.
Hey, Todd, give that URL real quick, and we're going to link to it on the podcast page. We'll make sure we repeat it a couple of times, but go ahead and give that URL before we continue this discussion.
So persecution.com is the main Voice of the Martyrs website, persecution.com, and then add / Eritrean prisoners. And I know that's kind of long, but persecution.com/ Eritrean prisoners, and it will give you all the information. The other thing we're asking you to do is sign your name saying, hey, I'm praying for these brothers. We're going to let their families know. There are thousands of people who are praying for you. There are thousands of people praying for your husband, for your father who's in prison. So I encourage people, again, persecution.com and then / Eritrean prisoners.
Yeah, that's right. And Eritrean, by the way, you can, of course, look this up, but it's spelled Eritrean. That's Eritrean prisoners, persecution.com/ Eritrean prisoners. We'll link to this on the podcast page, put it on all our social media platforms, etc. But Todd, is this the part of Africa that has been affected by Islam and radical Muslims and terrorism?
It is starting to be affected in Eritrea. The big problem in Eritrea is the president, Isaias Afwerki, was educated in China. And so he got the communist ideology that religion is bad. Religion makes you not a good citizen. Religion vies for the loyalty of the people. And he wants the loyalty to be to him and to be to the ruling party there. And so it really is that communist ideology. They have some legal religious institutions, but even those are facing persecution. The patriarch of the Eritrean Orthodox Church actually died under house arrest, even though his church is legal and in theory the government should have no problem with him. He was still under house arrest. So it really is that communist ideology of religion is bad, we have to control it.
Let me ask you this, Todd, because I know everybody's wondering it. What kind of headways, if any, have you made with the U.S. government? I mean, we've obviously got an ambassador over there, the U.S. embassy, as you mentioned. But what kind of response, if any, or collaboration are you getting with the U.S. government on this?
You know, we get some sometimes, and it's hard to predict. I kind of have a personal theory after 25 years here at VOM that there's like one story a year on religious freedom that gets traction. Wow. You know, and several years ago, it was Pastor Andrew Brunson, who was in prison in Turkey. Yeah. Several years before that, it was the Christian girls who were kidnapped in Nigeria. It's kind of like one thing a year catches people's attention. Everything else just kind of slides.
You know, Todd, I'm going to speak for myself. I know you guys probably work with government officials. You try to maintain a dignified, respectable relationship because you guys, from a practical standpoint, you have to work with governments and the U.S. government to make headway on a lot of these cases. So this is not bash the U.S. government. But from just an observer standpoint, this should be number one, a no-brainer as far as whether America has any interest in this. Number one, it should be a no-brainer. Number two, we should be able to handle this and have these Christians released without a whole lot of trouble. I mean, we're not talking about, Russia or Iran or North Korea. We're talking about a North African country that we probably have a lot of sway and influence over. I mean, am I setting this up right? Do we still have a lot of say in these African countries, or are there other bad actors like China coming in that have more influence?
Yes and yes, I think is the answer. Yes, we do have sway. I remember when I was there in 2002, George W. Bush was the president at that time. One of the pastors said, if you could get George W. Bush to call President Afwerki, that would make a huge difference. So you know, yes, we do have sway, but yes, also China is gaining sway, and China is spending money. China is building bridges. China is building roads, and they don't have any expectations as far as human rights. That's not an issue for them at all. And so they are gaining sway. And, you know, one thing I want to say, Voice of the Martyrs is not primarily an advocacy organization. So we do have some contacts when people from the government call. We try to answer their questions or at least point them to the information that we have. But that's not our primary mission. Our primary mission is to stand with those who are suffering. And we have been able to help the families of both of these pastors while they've been in prison over the last 19 plus years. We've been able to help their families and encourage them and help make sure their kids get to go to school, make sure they have enough to eat. And that's really the ministry of Voice of the Martyrs, is to serve those who are suffering for the name of Christ.
Amen, Todd. Hey, tell our audience where they can find out more about your work. And I know this is one project we're wanting to highlight, but you guys have a lot going on over there at Voice of the Martyrs.
We do. Persecution.com is the main website, persecution.com. One of the things I would point people to, last Friday evening, we had a virtual event. We had four ladies share their testimonies of persecution and God's faithfulness in the midst of that. That is now online. You can stream that this week. I would encourage people watch this. This was an amazing event to hear firsthand accounts of, yes, it was terrible. Yes, I was suffering. And also, yes, God was there with me. God was present in that. He gave me the strength to get through that. So just a really encouraging time. And again, persecution.com.
Excellent, Todd. Hey, appreciate so much for you guys' work over the VOM. We'll continue to highlight this and bring attention to it. We'll link over to the specific Christians you just mentioned there over in North Africa, Northeast Africa. And thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Todd Nettleton with Voice of the Martyrs Radio. He plays a critical role in the radio division, but also is a leader there at Voice of the Martyr in general. Persecution.com is their URL. Persecution.com. Pretty simple to remember. And then we're going to link directly on our podcast page to this campaign that they're working on to demand the release of these Christians in Eritrea. That's the first time I've heard of this country in Northeast Africa. But heavy persecution there. And folks, this just further highlights not only the need for the body of Christ to stand together, to encourage one another when others are under persecution, but to also maintain what beacon of hope and liberty that we have here. You know, historically, America has been that nation that is a bastion for religious freedom. And we've petitioned nations to release Christians for decades now. So we must also remember that responsibility.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.